Today I am joined by Andre Dow, who is here to talk about his new novel, Anem, out now. Andre, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So to kick this off, how would you describe Anem to listeners?
I guess I've been thinking of it as a fictionalized family history. So it is based on my family's actual history, and in particular my grandfather's experiences being imprisoned for 10 years without trial by the communist government in Vietnam. But that was sort of the beginning of it, I suppose, that it began as a project of trying to recover that history. And in the process, it became more and more a work of fiction. And so I kind of think of it as something of a palimpsest, I suppose, where underneath, at the very bottom layer, there is this kind of true family history, but over the top, there are many, many layers of many different kinds of fiction. All the different things that I've read over the years have kind of layered over the top, if you like.
Yeah, and I think this fictionalized family history, as you say, is very interesting, and it's very unique perspective that I hadn't personally encountered in a novel before. That kind of leads me to ask, did you ever find trouble, maybe when writing or reading over the story, with separating the fiction from the truth?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, there are different ways in which the fictionalization worked, and I suppose one of those was, and this kind of came quite late in the process, relatively speaking. So it took me 12 years to write. So there are many, many drafts of this, and there are versions of this book that were completely memoir, and there's versions that were, there was one version that was almost like a spy thriller. In this version, one thing that I kind of hit upon was this narrator, which is a kind of fictionalized version of myself. And I suppose there was an interesting thing that I realized in the process of writing myself as a character was that, yes, there's a sort of a sense in which, you know, I'm making stuff up about myself. I'm making up sort of thoughts for this narrator to have. And in the process, those thoughts sometimes became my thoughts, right? So that line between truth and non-truth, or fiction and non-fiction, gets particularly blurred, I think, when you're making yourself a character, because in some ways I was learning what it was that I thought or felt, which didn't always align with what the narrator thinks or feels in the book, but the very process of writing it down became a way for me to experiment in a way with, okay, how do I feel about this history of family trauma and histories of kind of violent conflict and ideological conflict? I actually didn't really know what I thought about those things until I wrote them down and then had this sort of fictionalized version of myself think about them. So that's, I guess, a kind of a long way of saying those lines just shifted, but in a way that I hope was is interesting to the reader.
Yeah, and now that you brought that point up, that leads me into discussing the whole writing process, because when I was reading this novel, I felt as if I was just watching someone sift through papers or letters, and the process of them researching, to maybe having family conversations, reading letters, seeing photos, and I thought that was really unique. Was that something that you did as well to write this book, like your own research process? Was that kind of very similar? Because it just felt as if I could see it in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the interesting thing about writing this over 12 years and telling people that I'm working on this kind of story is that that exact process that you described, the sifting through documents, talking to family members. So many people are doing that. I mean, particularly when I speak to people from, the Vietnamese diaspora, but also from all sorts of other sort of migrant and refugee communities, that a lot of us are going through this process of talking to family, trying to find documentary evidence, but it's not always there. And that's sort of the legacy of the sort of conflict and so on, that people are often fleeing, that you don't have documents. And I guess one of the things I wanted to do in the book was to actually stage that process. So instead of, I guess, a lot of books that deal with this kind of these kinds of stories will smooth out that process. And you know, you've done all your research in the background, and then you have a book where there's a relatively straightforward story that presents a kind of one truth of, say, you know, the refugee boat experience or something like that. And I think what I wanted to do was to show how, or at least I felt like I had to kind of show that this process was so messy and these histories are so complex, and you know, it was so difficult to draw out a single or even two or three single, you know, lines of stories from everything that just my family had experienced, let alone trying to tell a wider story about, you know, Vietnamese history and migration. So in a way, I think actually showing that process, you know, and a fictional version of it, was important for me to actually say, you know, I guess it's a sort of a pushback against the sort of smoothing out of history into a linear narrative.
And I can see that in the perspective and in how the protagonist uncovers or discovers new information, there's so much nuance, I feel, as in the conversation itself between the characters or in his own stream of consciousness. Now, with that nuance, would you say that it brings this authenticity to the perspective and therefore makes it relatable to people maybe in a similar position?
I mean, I hope so. I hope it does speak to people's actual experience of the fact that these things are complicated. The narrator goes back and forth between all sorts of positions, and I think that is, at least in my experience, that's part of what it is to grow up here. I was born here and grew up in Australia, and kind of going back and forth between not only your parents' culture and the kind of dominant white culture here, but between, say, English literature from England and America and Australian literature, and then I was reading Vietnamese literature. So I think I was trying to just put it all in rather than, as I said, rather than smoothing it out, trying to put in everything that goes into, I guess, my family history, but also who I think of myself as a writer or as an artist. Whether or not that's authentic, I think, it's a tough question because in some ways, I mean, I don't really know what is, say, authentically Vietnamese Australian, right? And
yep.
I think there's a certain way that you can perform that seems authentic to different audiences. And so I've been really conscious of that as well, of, okay, you know, this book is coming out to a wide Australian audience that is still predominantly white. And so what's the authenticity of a, you know, Vietnamese Australian writer to that audience, and what's their relationship to, like, you know, in capital letters, like the Vietnam War. And so that's one type of authenticity, but then there's also a kind of authenticity that I perform in relation to my family and extended family, where, you know, I try and speak my very poor Vietnamese with them, and I try and understand a little bit of the bits and pieces of Vietnamese culture that have kind of come through to me. But yeah, that's a performance as well, because, you know, I'm having to work really hard to try and be a, you know, good son, grandson, community member or whatever. So I think it's that exact struggle with that question of authenticity that is one of the one of the things that the narrator or protagonist is grappling with.
Yeah, and I'm just now curious, what have your family reactions been to the novel, or have you received any feedback from maybe just people within the Vietnamese diaspora? Any specific reactions to the novel?
Yeah, so my family's reaction has been really interesting. I mean, the first thing is that they're really, you know, super proud, and I think that has been really incredible. The second thing was, okay, that line between fiction and nonfiction, really difficult to explain. I don't have the Vietnamese vocabulary, so I'm not sure to what extent that vocabulary even exists. to talk, say something like audio fiction. So I have heard the comments like, oh, well, that date was wrong, or, you know, my grandmother saying, I wasn't in Hanoi at that point. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it's, you know, and then I confuse things even more by putting, so that the photo on the cover in the Australian edition is, that's a photo of my real grandfather. So that's,
oh, wow,
you know, just confusing things even more for everyone. But, and then just recently, I guess, as the book's really new publication, the third sort of reaction has been this flood of new stories coming, which has been interesting because I think that's been in response to, say, like, you know, my mum or my dad have been talking about it with their friends, the book, and people have been really, I guess, validating that, going, oh, that's amazing, or, you know, can't wait to read that. And I think, you know, I mean, I worked on this for 12 years and I said, oh, I'm writing this book. And for a long time, I didn't. I guess that would seem so abstract and strange, and particularly I'm saying, oh, it's this kind of fiction, non-fiction thing. I didn't really know what to make of it. But now that there's been this sort of public response and response from people that they know, I think it's sort of starting to open this valve, which I've been trying to get open for so long. and so suddenly, I mean, literally the other night at dinner, you know, my dad started telling me these stories about the sort of very early communist era, and I'm thinking, I've literally never heard these stories before from him, some of which could have been quite relevant, but yeah, I think that was an interesting aspect, because the other, I guess, my worry has always been that writing this book about my family was also, you know, kind of putting a distance between me and them in terms of, you know, they're not big readers, and certainly not big readers in English of novels of this kind of hybrid form or whatever. So I think one worry for me was, here I am sort of writing this thing to, in one way, honour them or do justice to their story, and at the same time, with every kind of word, it sort of creates some kind of barrier between us. But this reaction, just, and this was just this past weekend, I think, you know, there's other ways that the book is opening things up for us, even if it's not necessarily, you know, they haven't actually really given me much in the way of response to the content of the book as such. But I think if it means that we're talking and sharing some new stories, then maybe that's a really positive thing to come out of it.
With these new stories that have suddenly come out, would you ever consider or take into consideration maybe writing another novel that focuses on a different perspective? Or I think, has the 12 years been enough for you at this point?
I do have an idea for a next book and a next Ooh. Novel. I think that it would still be related to Vietnam and family in a way, but quite different to this one, in that it would be both very historical. So I'm quite interested in the period when Catholic missionaries first arrived in Vietnam and that history, and then also very contemporary. So I'm really, really interested in, I guess, migrant workers who come to Australia from all over Southeast Asia, coming to Australia to do things like farm work and abattoir work. So somehow I'm imagining a novel that somehow connects those two very different threads. Yeah.
Well, it sounds very interesting, and I'm sure listeners are going to be keeping out an ear for the novel in future. Now, another thing I wanted to touch on was this dynamic between grandchild and grandparent. Now, this intergenerational bond, if you must, it's obviously a keystone of this novel, but was there any difficulty in how you wanted to capture it? Was there something particular about this bond that you wanted to focus on? Maybe certain barriers within the bond, or why choose this as the focus?
Yeah, so I guess in a way that focus was already there for me from the beginning, in that this was all sparked off when I was in my late teens and discovered a document about my grandfather that was an Amnesty International newsletter from the early 80s that had him, a photo of him on the front cover, and so said that, you know, this man has been arrested as a public intellectual and a Catholic, and he's currently being held in Chihuahua prison without having been charged or tried, that he'd been adopted as a prisoner of conscience. And that was sort of the first that I had really understood at all, that there was this background. So in that sense, I guess that discovery then led me to pursue a bond that wasn't really there, because my grandparents lived in, they fled to France through other kind of windy paths. My dad ended up in Melbourne and with my mum in Melbourne. So, you know, for me, my grandparents were very distant people through age, experience, but also geographically. So it was kind of discovering this family, not quite secret, but it was a thing that we didn't talk about, that then led me to try and, you know, go to Paris multiple times over a few years to speak to them and to get to know them in a way, and then also to find out about this history.
And this kind of leads me to talk about memory and remembering. One of the main themes in this novel that you explore, and this concept of remembering or trying to capture these memories of your family history and then using that to navigate your present. So particularly what I found very interesting was that in the first opening section or scene of the novel, if you will, I don't want to give too much of the story away, but it takes a moment between the grandson and the grandfather at the hospital, in which the ending is the grandson focusing on the fact that he failed to record a particular moment, whereas that contrasted with the ending in which the grandson actually records the moment itself is pretty profound. Would you say that the novel really follows this progression of the grandson from being fixated on trying to remember and capture these memories in his history to this awareness of that history and of those situations in which that history was told?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's kind of a progression in, I guess, the nuance and complexity with which the narrator understands what the process of remembering is. So there's some sense at the beginning, or at least the beginning of his journey, that remembering is this fairly straightforward process, that, and the analogy is to things like computers and you know, data banks or recordings on phones or on tape. The idea that memory is simply the true record of what happened, and instead getting to the quite far from that, to what I think is a more sophisticated understanding of remembering, which is that, you know, every act of remembering is an act of creation. And that, so, I mean, even to go back to that question of the fiction, nonfiction, it's sort of, well, every act of remembering is, to some extent, a making up. And so rather than worrying about the line, oh, when do you make things up and when do you don't, instead, when you realize that it's always a matter of creating something new, then the question becomes, well, what are the boundaries on that? What stops me from completely making things up that you would call lies? What's my responsibility? And that becomes, I think, the question for the narrator, is like, okay, how do I remember this past when I know that there isn't some kind of like single truth or you know, recorded history that I can turn to or put out there? So then if I have to kind of make things up to a certain extent, or if remembering is always an act of creation, then what's my responsibility to that? And then it's precisely that realization that, okay, there's some, at least for him, there's some kind of future through his daughter that's sort of, okay, maybe that's the thing that gives shape to this remembering. That's, you know, because I guess the other side of remembering, every act of remembering requires some level of forgetting, because it's impossible to fully reproduce the past. So the question is, on what basis do I forget some things and remember others? And thinking about his daughter is one of those ways. It's not the only way, and it's not necessarily the right way, but it's the way that he chooses to do it, I think, and that's that is one of the through lines of the novel.
Even with this process of remembering and trying to remember or capture memories, I think it also feeds into another process of cultural transmission in the sense of passing information. Maybe this is my own perspective, but I feel as if your novel challenges Western and colonial notions of cultural transmission between generations. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the central questions in the novel is, okay, so if, apart from the idea of what we inherit from family, it's also what do we inherit culturally? And that is a complicated question for kind of, a post-colonial or decolonial person, novel, project, which this book is. One of the things that I think the narrator does is he thinks about his access to the world and to culture is largely through kind of Western literature, and that he realizes that he's trying to understand his grandparents through that frame, and then realizing that that's a distortion. But then also realizing that simply turning to, for instance, like epic Vietnamese poetry, that's also not as simple as that either. So I think in that way, the novel does really try to tackle head on the question of cultural transmission and kind of colonial inheritances through things like literature and art.
That leads us to the end, so I'd like to say, Andre, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And for everyone listening, Anam is out now, so you can go and grab it.